Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4, 8. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Father, bless your holy word now. In thy holy name I pray. Amen. Folks, you can be seated. I spent a good bit of time preparing for a lesson on the mind tonight. And the Apostle Peter over there in Peter, where he says, gird up the loins of your mind. What you think is very important, because your mind is going to have profound effect on who you are. The Apostle says in Philippians 4, he said these things, to think on these things. I was doing a little surfing on YouTube the other day, looking for some good Christian music, sometimes preaching. And I came across a site that had, it was called the Shenandoah Christian Camp, Music Camp. Shenandoah Christian Music Camp. And I got on there, and they had a choir there. It looked like about 200, 250 people. And I knew immediately who I was looking at. They're Mennonites. They've got the little thing on their head. They're Mennonites. And they were singing a song, Let's Go Down to the River. You ever heard that one? Man, let me tell you right now, folks, jot that down and get on YouTube and watch it. It's beautiful music, beautiful singing. The site says they are Anabaptist. Anabaptist means a rebaptizer. That's where we came from. We have a close connection with the Amish and the Mennonites. Most Baptists don't know that. But we baptize believers, and so do they. Only believers in the Lord Jesus. Menno Simons and Jacob Amman were the two men that were responsible for that particular group. But when you watch these people and listen to them sing, you know you're listening to brothers and sisters. These people love the Lord. So I highly recommend that. That's good stuff. Real good stuff. It is it's a Shenandoah Christian Music Camp and Shenandoah Christian Choir. Just type that in, get on YouTube and then do a search into it, and you'll be amazed at what you pull up. And it'll be good stuff. That's the kind of thing to think on. All this stuff today that calls itself Christian music is not Christian music. What I'm trying to say to you tonight, a lot of it is not Christian music. It's nothing in the world more than flesh. It was written to move the flesh, and it has nothing to do with Christ. But in any event, I was on the preparing for the lesson tonight about the gird up the loins of your mind when I get this email. I want to read it to you. Dear Pastor Lawson, I'll keep the individual anonymous, but I'll just read the email, the text of it. Dear Pastor Lawson, please continue to pray for me. My life was ruined by psychiatry and mind-altering psychoactive drugs. They put me on as treatment, as help. Once you get a diagnosis, remember that word, it is the key to their coercion and control. You are in their clutches. And the culture has been so brainwashed that they believe these highly educated experts, and your life is toast and you are stigmatized as mentally ill. Friends, family, social workers, and church all collude and trust the doctors. No one recommended the great physician, Jesus Christ, as the sole remedy. Now, digest that. Think on what I just said to you. The churches here are all Jesus plus something and are married to the world. I didn't realize this till just the past few years when my eyes have been opened, led by the Lord, and to read and research the falseness of psychiatry and harmfulness of prescription drugs. Unfortunately, I'm 63 and have been on medication for 32 years. My brain is damaged and my emotions are out of whack. Please pray. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, my great high priest, advocate, and intercessor, to heal my brain and nervous system. There are many, many people suffering from this situation. I am sad because I found out about it at a late age, and my life passed me by in the psychiatrist's office believing I needed his help. I was brainwashed, too. They call it gaslighting. Being made to think you are crazy when you are not. The whole practice of psychiatry is gaslighting, and they are unscrupulous in their wickedness. God lifted me out of yoga and the New Age. And I was tricked immediately into the mental health system at age 31. Satan is relentless. It ruined me and caused me to waste my life. I am unutterably sad about this. God created me with a very good brain. I was gifted and talented and very smart. This is a tragedy. Please pray for my recovery so that maybe I can do something for the Lord before I die. Oh, and due to the wavering of my mind, it is very difficult to fight against the attacks of the enemy. As I know I should, I know it is important to fight, but I'm disabled, damaged. I know the scripture admonition, gird up the loins of your mind. The Apostle Peter said that, but it seems that I simply can't. I need help. Please pray for me. Thank you. With much appreciation for your preaching and teaching. We're going to pray for this person tonight. I don't have to mention her name. But I had the scripture already jotted down. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 13. To gird up the loins of your mind. I was already prepared to get up and teach this tonight. And right before I came to church, I get this email. That's no coincidence.
No.
Now, let me say this about psychiatry and psychology. I don't say all of it is bad. There's a place for it here and there. But be very careful. Be very careful. Because the way the system is headed today, if they get you in a system like that, and they get you in the cycle, they'll take away your rights. They'll take away your ability to make decisions. And they'll essentially control you with medication and so forth. And you don't want to get there. You don't want to be in a situation like that where they take away your sovereignty, your freedom, your free will. It's gone. And it can happen. And a lot of things that we think we need to go to a psychiatrist or psychologist for, we need to go to the Lord with.
Amen.
We need to be on our knees talking to God. The scripture promises us a sound mind. Now, the worst thing you can have is an unsaved psychiatrist or psychologist, because everything they deal with you in is going to be secular. They're going to completely reject the idea of a spiritual man, of the new birth. You are body, soul, and spirit tonight. You live in a body, and you have a soul, and you are a spirit being. In order to minister to you, to help you, we must be able to minister to all that makes you what you are. Did you know in the Old Testament there's at least 7 or 8 different words for body? I'm not talking about now nephesh. Sometimes nephesh is translated body. But we're talking about an entirely different word that refers to the body in the Old Testament. All right? The pneuma of the Old Testament is your spirit. All right? The ruach, or rather the pneuma is your soul, and the ruach is your spirit in the Old Testament. But when you come to the New Testament, you come to an entirely different situation. Far fewer words are used for the body. Because now the emphasis is no longer on your body, because in the Old Testament the body prevailed. It was dominant. This is why David said, Lord, take not thine Holy Spirit from me. The Bible said plainly the time came when God took his Holy Spirit away from Saul, the king of Israel. But when you come to the New Testament, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you have been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. In plainer words, it's everything now in the New Testament, in this age of being born again. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit to do what has to be done in your life. So important for Christians to understand that. And the reason I'm saying that to you tonight is that there may be occasions here and there where, especially if you get into court proceedings, where psychologists or psychiatrists are called in. I mean, I've been here a long time. I've watched this stuff develop. And when it does happen, sometimes there's not a thing you can do about it because of the circumstances involved. So I say to you tonight, I'll not necessarily say that all psychiatry is bad, but I'll tell you this right now, you better watch it. Don't go into it naive and trust these people like they are experts about who you are and what makes you think, because they not necessarily are. What you are is a spirit being. And if you're a spirit being that has been born again, you've been born of the Spirit of God. And you have God living in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. God is in you. And your body is never saved, but you can bring it into subjection. You can yield it as members of righteousness. You can understand that the body can be used for the glory of God, but the body in itself has no capacity to do anything for the glory of God because it is enmity against God. Then you go, of course, get into the nuances there where you have body and then you have sarx, which is the flesh. And that's, flesh and body. This thing is not simple, but the fleshly nature stays with you once you're born again. The old man is still around. And that fleshly nature is your enemy. In the morning, get up, look in the mirror. You're looking at your greatest enemy. Look in that mirror. That is your enemy. You better believe it. That is your enemy. So, when you talk about how do you live a Christian life? And so many people ask me, say, preacher, what is the key to victory? Because I'm constantly on this roller coaster. I'm down and I'm up. I'm down and I'm up. Or something happens and it blows me away. I just lose it. I don't know what to do. That's not the normal Christian life. You should be on a more even keel. But we are down and we are up. We all are. The pastor and everybody else. There's no perfect people in here tonight. So the battleground is to be found where? The battleground is in your mind. This is why the scripture says, let this mind be in you. This is why the scripture says, gird up the loins of your mind. The illustration is that when the ancient people who wore their robes and all, they would pull them up and they would tighten the belt around it. So they were able to move and this robe would not get in the way. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about firm up your faith. Get strong in your mind. Face your enemy. You've got an enemy out there who wants to destroy you. He's a roaring lion. You've got to be firmly established in the faith. And the only way you can be firmly established in the faith is to have the right faith in God. And the faith in God we're talking about is in His character. Now, folks, you know people in the church house, some of them turn their back on you when you need them. And, they fail you. And the arm of man, the arm of the flesh will fail you. But God never will fail you. Amen. He never will. He can't fail you. And if you're born again, He cannot deny Himself. Because Himself is His body. That's Himself. And if you've been born of the Spirit of God, you are in His body. He can't deny His body. He can't separate Himself from His body. His body is His body. You see what I'm saying? If you're born again, you are in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will never forsake His body. That's eternal security. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. Names written in heaven. Thank God for that. I'm going to talk about some giants tonight. How many's heard of Goliath? Of Gath. He was a Philistine, wasn't he? Philistine. He had five Philistine cities. Ekron, Gath, that's two of them. They took the Ark of the Covenant to one of the Philistine cities. And poor old Dagon, he had to face up to the real God. He didn't last long, did he? They must not have cared much for Dagon to put the real God in front of him. Amen, folks. You've got the real God inside you tonight. You really do. You really do. But let's look at some of the things that 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 17. I want you to know some of the things that David conquered. 1 Samuel 17. And David conquers them, and so do we. We have to. 1 Samuel 17, verse 17. First Samuel 17:17. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. He was a runner. You couldn't give much of a title to him. Notice he was kind of insignificant. The only thing valuable as far as they were concerned about David was his ability to run something to them. You see what I mean? But David did not rebel against authority. If you're full of rebellion tonight, dear friend, you are rebelling against authority. It's not my authority. I'm a pastor. I'm an under-shepherd. That's my place here. God ordained me to do this. But the authority you're rebelling against is God. How many of you think tonight you can find a place to run to and hide from God? You can hide from me, but you can't hide from God. So why don't you dismiss your rebellion tonight? If God's been working on your heart, why don't you answer that call? If he's pinpointed some sin in your life before he has to chasten you, why don't you confess it? A rebellious generation is what we belong to today. Yes. He did not rebel against authority. So that's one giant he got rid of. He had a lot of giants he had to get rid of before he had to defeat, before he got in front of the giant. Look over here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse commanded him. And he came to the trench, and as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. Notice when he rose up, what time? Early in the morning. Early. He was bringing his body into subjection. He was getting up early. See? Early. Boot camp, we got up at 4:30. I remember the first morning that trash can lid hit that concrete floor. Never forget that. I wasn't expecting that. Bang, that thing hit. Ricocheted off the walls of that squad bay. 83 men jumped out of that bed like they'd been shot. Get out of the rack, he said. And we were all standing at attention in front of our rack. All right, we got up early. 4:30. By 5 o'clock, we were on a parade ground with 1,000 men out there. Boom, 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 boom. 5 o'clock in the morning. Came back, cleaned up squad bay. I think about 6:30 or so, we went to the mess hall. Got up early. We got to sleep in on Sunday. We got to sleep in till I think it was 5:30 or 6 o'clock. That's late. See, we slept in till 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. And a lot of those guys really looked forward. A lot of those guys losing sleep just about killed them. It didn't bother me that much, but some of them it did. You have to discipline your body. You can't let your body dictate to you, right? You can't do it. Sometimes you may not feel like coming to church that much, but you want to come because you love the Lord and you want the fellowship with God's people, right? Fail not the assembling of yourselves together. Come together, the house of God. Somebody may be depending on you. They may want you to pray for them. We're going to pray for this lady here tonight. We're going to pray for her. And we've got three people we need to pray for: Rhonda, Janelle, and Debbie. All three of them, they need prayer. Amen. And when they're down, flat of their back, it brings great comfort to them to know that God's people care enough to get on their face and pray for them. I laid in the hospital, folks, day after day, and I used to watch the monitor, the TV in the hospital room, and I would see Brother Silvius up here leading the singing. Time and time again, I watched him. And while I was in the hospital, I couldn't get out, but I was watching the church service. Amen. I got a lot of comfort from that. Here's the third thing, 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. And David spake to the men they stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" I don't know how many others had this, but David had a clear vision of what the battle was about. Right? He had a clear vision. He had a clear vision of what the battle was about. I have consecrated my life to the Lord Jesus, folks. Before I walked in here tonight, I consecrated and gave him my life. I may not make it home tonight, but I know where I'm going. I've consecrated my life. How much time do I have left here? I don't know. I don't really worry about it because my life is hid with Christ and God. My life is Him. It belongs to Him. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And it would be good if you could ever get to the point where every waking moment of your life, you know, you're thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the next moment you may be with him. David had a clear vision of what it was about. I heard the story about an old boy who was a bear hunter and he had a dog. And you guys ever work a dog, you know, you train them to do certain things. And he turned his dog loose and his dog got the scent. He got the scent of a bear. He was a bear hunter. Away the dog goes, yelping. He's got that scent and here he goes. And the hunter says, well, I'm going to have me a bear before long. First thing you know, his dog starts yelping and changes directions completely from where he was headed to get the bear. So what did he do? A deer had crossed the path. Now he's after the deer. And here he goes, down through the valley, chasing the deer. And the hunter's getting mad. But then all of a sudden he changes again. A rabbit had crossed the path of the deer. Now he's chasing the rabbit. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They can't focus on anything that's important. This is important, folks. Amen. He's a good old dog, but he couldn't stay on the trail. You see what I mean? He couldn't stay at it. Would you consecrate your life to Christ tonight? We have an enemy out there. Listen to what the enemy wants to do. They want to legalize prostitution. They want to defend all pornography, including child pornography, as free speech. I left Mickey Blakely a work by Judith Reisman about pornography, about what it will do to the chemical makeup of your mind. Pornography is not just an innocent type pastime. Oh, no, no, no. It inflames things in your mind, yet there is nobody on the other end. You're just being inflamed with pornography. There's nobody there. You're just looking at visions, at pictures, at stuff on screens. So what does that do? That puts you in a situation to where you've been fired up, but you can't do anything about it. This is why so many murderers out there say they started with pornography. In other words, they opened the floodgates of hell in their life. They did not know how to control what was happening to them. A few months back, I made a decision. I'm going to remember the names of all of the waitresses and waiters that come to my table. So what did I do? I focused on their name. I just did it as a mind exercise. When they came and they give their name, how many of you, just think about what I'm saying to you tonight. How many of you know, if you went to a restaurant today, you remember the name of the server? I do. I can tell you exactly what his name was. Or her, it was a woman. I can tell you what her name was. I started focusing on that name. And you know what? Bang! It wasn't long until just naturally I got the name. Then I tried another experiment. I said, well, you know numbers. You get number one or two or three. You know, you try to quote numbers to somebody. What's that telephone number? You give them two numbers. They say, slow down. Slow down here now. You're going to lose me. And so you have to give them two or three numbers. They write it down. All right, now give me the next two or three numbers. I started focusing on numbers. First thing you know, I could remember 6, 7, 8, 9 numbers, and I'm continuing to work at it. And for some reason, a part of my brain all of a sudden came alive that had been dormant because I wasn't using it. And then I can sit down and I can read off 6 or 7 numbers, turn around, and type every one of them. Just like that. And I'm 72 years old. I'm learning how to control my mind. That's what pornography's doing for you. You're not controlling anything. It's controlling your mind. And it is enslaving you. And it's wrapping its tentacles around you. And it is doing stuff to you that you can't even imagine tonight. Pornography is literally born and bred in hell. And that's exactly where to lead you. I saw a statistic the other day that said a lot of churches, half the people are hooked on pornography, and in some places 60 to 70% of the reverends in the pulpit. Imagine what kind of anointing that he has on him when he gets up to preach, if he's been spending the week watching pornography. They want to decriminalize and legalization of all drugs. Did you know that marijuana has an active ingredient called HTC, I think it is? It's a gateway drug. It'll lead you into bigger and greater things in the drug world. And you'll wind up out here in a bridge somewhere shooting opioids up in your arm. And there's only one that can save you. And that's the Lord Jesus. Let me say this for you tonight. Don't go there to begin with. And you'll spare yourself a lot of heartache. They promote homosexuality. The culture in America. Have you noticed corporate America? How many of you know, what do you mean corporate America? They have all these ads you see on TV. How many ads have you seen just in the last 6 months where you got two men together? They're selling everything from life insurance, cars, to anything. They don't have to do that. There's an agenda behind these people. This is corporate America. What about entertainment America? Lord, they've lost them a long time. Right? What about educational America? They're all turning away from God and they're going into the abyss. And that's what's happening. The opposition of rating music and movies. They oppose that. They want people to just go in and be shocked to death. Opposition against parental consent of minors seeking abortion. They want your 14-year-old girl to be able to go and abort her child and against the parents' will without the parents even knowing it. That's where they're headed. Opposition of informed consent preceding abortion procedures. Opposition of spousal consent preceding abortion. And opposition of parental choice in children's education. In other words, their attitude is that they know better than you do what your child needs when it comes to education. Listen, folks, you are not educated when your head is filled full of a bunch of facts. I've got an Encyclopedia Britannica in my office right now. It's about 67, 68, 69 edition. It's this wide. You can know everything in that encyclopedia and not have enough sense to go out that back door. You can have a photographic memory. You can quote, you can memorize the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, every word in it, and don't have a clue who the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. It's that wisdom that only comes from God. Wisdom knows how to use facts. Facts won't educate you. But what they do, they brainwash the kids. They brainwash them. And what they've produced is an automaton, a machine, a robot. And I'm afraid that's what we're filling our country with. Not to mention the defense and promotion of euthanasia, polygamy, government control of church institutions, gun control, tax-funded abortion and birth limitation, etc., so forth and so on. In plain words, when David came against Goliath, he came against one whose height is 6 cubits, 1 Samuel 17. His weapons and armor show up 6 times, 1 Samuel 17, 5 through 8. And his spearhead weighs 600 shekels of iron, 1 Samuel 17, 7. Goliath has the number 666 stamped all over him. That's not a coincidence. 666 stamped all over Goliath. That number shows up in Revelation 13. That's the number of the Antichrist. Against Christ. You live in a godless society that is Antichrist. Seek the best things. Be careful who you go with. Be careful who your friends are. You can be friendly with anybody. You should show them Christian love. You should want to help people, absolutely. But can two walk together except they be agreed? You understand with spiritual discernment. Yes, I'm going to befriend this one. I'm going to bring them to church. Feed them, clothe them, help them, be a friend to them. Do anything you can. But there's a line you do not cross if you are truly born of the Spirit of God. You do not cross that line. You don't do it. You don't do it. You don't do it. So, in 1 Samuel 17, 26, the giant that he had to conquer was indifference. They didn't know what the enemy, they didn't know the battle. They had no idea what was going on. The fourth giant is found in 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. And Eliab. Okay? God is my father. That's what that word means. Av in Hebrew is father. Abba, father. Eli, Elohim. You see, Elohim is my father. What a noble name. Son of Jesse, eldest, firstborn. God is my father. I can't imagine when Jesse brought forth his firstborn son, he named him. Jesse wanted the world to know, God is the father of my son. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Yet he mocked little David. He hurt David because David loved his older brother. It's just natural for brothers and sisters to love each other. If they don't love each other, we got something bad wrong. Right? There's something bad wrong. These are giants. This is what you need to be thinking about. This is what should be controlling your life. The fifth one, 1 Samuel 17, verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. In other words, you're too little. You're not qualified to fight this enemy. I went to see Janelle the other day when she was having, just before she went to have surgery. Went back in the room, prayed with her, and Eric was in there, and he said, I want to show you something. So he took his phone, and he pulled up little Josie. And here's Josie on the side of the bed like this. Her eyes are squinched like that, and she's praying for her mama. I'd rather have Josie praying for me than a lot of people that I know in the church house. I believe Josie can get a hold of God. Right? Suffer the little children, forbid them not to come unto me. These little ones have an honest, there's no guile in their heart. I mean, she loves her mama. So her prayer was pure. Prayer. She didn't have any ulterior motive. And I thought, man, what a thing. That lightened my day up when he showed me that. Little Josie praying for her mama. That's the way it ought to be. Children love the parents. Parents love your children. Amen? Your child's worth more than your Cadillac. It's worth more than your home, your boat. It's worth more than your bank account. Your children are what's important. That's the real value in life, your family. Only one should come before your family. Your family should be first except for one. And who's that? It's the Lord. Outside of the Lord, your family ought to be it. Top. You should do what's good for your family. You ought to pray for your family. Bring your family to church. Don't send them. Bring them to the house of God. Amen. So, David had to conquer fear. Because he said, you're too young. You're just a youth. You can't go out against him. If it was left up to me to tear down the devil and destroy what he was doing, I'll throw up my hands right now and tell you I've lost. Well, I can't make it. But it's not up to me. It's up to the one in me. When I preach his word, I'm sending forth powerful, powerful, powerful. Amen. I'm reading a thing today about a missionary in Great Britain. He wanted to go into the New Hebrides. Some of the island chain down there in the Pacific. He wanted to go to the New Hebrides. They said, you can't go in there. They're cannibals. They'll eat you. He said, you won't last any time. They'll have you for supper. He said, God told me to go to the New Hebrides. He told me to go down there and preach to them. Please let me go. Finally, after persisting with the British royalty, the British, whoever was, you know how they are, they were controlling who could go. Finally, I think it was a general or some of them said, all right, it's your hide. It's you. If you want to be eaten, you go ahead. So he went into the New Hebrides to cannibals. You know what he did? He started preaching the gospel. You know what happened? They started getting saved. They don't eat people anymore. I don't guess I should have to say that to you tonight, but once you're born again, you quit eating people. I don't know if you've ever noticed or not how many serial killers are cannibals. Amen. John Wayne Gacy had them all buried underneath his house and he was eating them. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They eat human flesh. Isn't that something? Tells you how demonic it is. 1 Samuel 17 verse 43. Look at this one. 1 Samuel 17 43. The Philistine said, David, am I a dog? In other words, he said that's the lowest thing in the Old Testament was a dog. You can get any lower than that. He said, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. He had to curse him by his God because he didn't have the true and living God, didn't he? He ridiculed. He was ridiculed with the enemy. They call us ignorant. They call us hidebound. I've heard that term used against us. Christians. We're everything in the world. We're the off-scouring of the world. We're crazy. We're illiterate. We're ignorant. We don't know anything. Well, they do. They demonize you. And then when they can demonize you, they just do away with you. Your word doesn't mean anything, right? He had to conquer ridicule by the enemy. If you wear your feelings on your shoulder and you're super sensitive of what anybody might say about you, you're not going to get anything done for God. Amen. Depending on what crowd you're around, I'm the sorriest, low-down piece of garbage on the face of the earth, or I'm a great preacher. Just depends on who you're around. That's it. It's that simple. I mean, there's some people out there that say Lawson I wouldn't use it in the pulpit, what they say of me. Now, what am I supposed to do? Cry? Crawl up in a hole somewhere and pout? It's not about me anyway. It's about the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you something, and I am privileged to be able to get up here and talk for him and about him. And then finally, the seventh giant that David had to conquer, 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, was Goliath. Do you know where Goliath came from? He had six fingers, six toes, brothers with six fingers, six toes. Goliath was a product of the angels coming down to the daughters of men in Genesis chapter number 6. These giants in the land were hybrids. They were a product of a supernatural intervention. It doesn't get any more wicked than that. That's where Goliath belonged. These were his people. And so therefore David, who's a type of Christ, is coming against Goliath, who's a type of the Antichrist. And there they meet. And what did he do him in with? A little stone. But that didn't kill him. What killed him? His own sword. David took out Goliath's sword. I can imagine that little boy. Lord of mercy, I can't imagine how big that sword. That sword wound up at Nob, you know. It wound up down there with the priest of Nob. Saul went in there. They kept that sword because it was a trophy of a battle won. And he took that sword and he cut his head off. In other words, Goliath died by his own power. He turned it against him. That's the way the Lord does. He takes the wicked in their own deceit. Amen. They put a snare out for you, they'll fall in their own snare. They dig a pit for you, they'll go to their own pit. They put a curse out on top of your head, that curse will return to their own head. You can't curse what God's blessed. You just can't do it. You can't do it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. I remember the story, I think it was Billy Sunday, or one of those evangelists, was up preaching the word. He was in a tent meeting. He was up preaching. And this guy stood up, lifted up his automatic pistol, and fired. But it wouldn't fire. He wrecked it, fire, and it wouldn't fire. In other words, God rendered his gun dead. Because God's man was in the pulpit, and he meant for God's man to stay there till he was done with him. And no weapon formed against thee can prosper. Hallelujah to God. Amen. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not guns. You don't kill a spirit with a gun. But they're mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds. I'd like to do that, wouldn't you? Have you noticed lately the freedom here at Temple Baptist Church? I haven't even noticed that. The freedom of the Spirit in this house. I don't know how many people have been commenting to me in the last couple, two or three weeks. They've been saying, "Preacher, you know, I come in here and I feel the Holy Ghost all over this place. The Holy Spirit is in here." You know why? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. This is why I said to you the other day, I said, "All right, if you have a prostitute who wants to come in here, you're welcome. You have a witch who comes in here and wants to sit down there. You're welcome. Come on, sit right there." She'll come in and cast a spell on you, preacher. No, it'll turn right into her face. I don't fear that for a second. because I know whom I have believed.
Yes.
And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which committed to him against that day. Amen. You'd be surprised at how many witches now and Satanists have been saved because they tried to put spells on Christians and they were turned right down on their head. And they realized that they had plugged into something that was far greater than what they thought had all this power. God smote them down. We have enemies. Temple's got enemies. You've got enemies. You're always going to have enemies. Some of them you pray for. Some of them you do what Paul did. You need discernment to do this. But here's what Paul said, 2 Timothy. He said, Alexander the coppersmith hath done me much wrong or harm. Then what did he say? You remember? God reward him accordingly. Did you know in the same text, the Apostle Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me. This one has left me. That one has left me. They've all left me and I'm by myself. He said, but I pray God will be with them, help them.
Yes.
That's what he prayed for. But he said, Alexander the coppersmith came against me. Wickedness. You see, the coppersmith was making idols. He was making money from idols. And the Apostle Paul was preaching the word of God and all these people were getting saved and stopped buying idols. So it affected Alexander's business. And so Alexander tried to curse Paul, do anything he could, because this man's taking my livelihood away from me. And the Apostle Paul said, God reward him accordingly. Amen. Sometimes you have to pray that prayer. God reward him accordingly. I've only had to pray that prayer once that I know of in 42 years here at Temple. One time I've had to pray it. God reward him accordingly. Because all the rest of them, I've prayed, Lord, help them. They're fallen, they're weak, you know, they've turned, this and that, all the different reasons, things that happen. The Bible said we should be kind-hearted one to another, forgiving one another, even God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us, right? We should be forgiving each other tonight. I'm looking for a perfect church, preacher. Keep looking.
Yeah.
You didn't find it here. When you do find it, let me know. But now, after you've been there a while, then let me know when you find that perfect church, because I'd like to visit it. Father, in Jesus' name, bless your holy word. And Lord, these dear folk who come into this house tonight, and those who may be watching this thing live right now over the internet, I pray for them. I pray for a move of the Spirit of God. My Heavenly Father is so, so simple. If we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, He would exalt us. You'd move in this house. We could see more of what we've seen in the last few days, but even in a greater way. Oh, how I would love to see that. I would love to see people come in here and be delivered completely from the power of Satan. I'd like to see them come in this house and be healed right on the spot. Healed by that blood covenant at Calvary. I'd like to see them come in here and be saved, Lord. I'd like to see that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.